I never know if I should, when a player retires, if I should say congratulations on retirement. But I am going to congratulate you on a 15-year career that is pretty remarkable when you look back at it, isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you, first of all. And yeah, for sure. It's, just looking back on everything, it's always, there's so many memories. So very proud of everything I was able to accomplish. As a player, you always want more. You always think you can play forever. But you have to come to realization at some point that, your time has come to move on, and you start to look back on the fond memories.
Matt, I love asking this question of players who've made the decision to retire or walk away from the game. And I'm always interested in the differences in, like, sort of culture or atmosphere when you go on the road. And from your perspective, what were the cities in the National Hockey League where you really felt like, man, this is a hockey city?
Well, I got to play for two of them. Definitely Toronto is obviously the center of the hockey world. I'd say Toronto, Montreal. And then anywhere in Canada, you feel the love for the game. You go out with the guys, people know who you are. That's just what living in Canada is all about. People love hockey. And then in the U.S., there's some cities that are obviously a little bit where you fly way under the radar, like Carolina and Florida. You just kind of, you're there to do your job and try and win a hockey game, and which is a nice little way for the team, to get to a place like that during a long season. So, but there's still the hockey crazy markets like Detroit and Chicago and, even Vegas, at the end of my career going there, like the atmosphere in that rink was unbelievable. So I think it's coming a long way, but there's definitely a big difference between Canada and the U.S., and I think any player would say that.
Hey, Matt, again, 15 years in the league, what's the key to being a good teammate? And did it change over the course of your career? Because to last that long and play a number of roles in the team, ultimately you've got to be a good person and a good teammate. I mean, pro sports tends to a lot of times weed those guys out. What's the key to being that guy, that good teammate?
You know what? There's no easy answer. I have to say that I was very fortunate coming into the league. I had probably one of the best men coaching me in Pat Quinn, and I learned from him, away from hockey, obviously in the dressing room, and every coach I had is always trying to push you to be the best you can be and get the most out of the team. But it was one thing that Pat always said is, and just watching him and the way he was, is be a good person, be a family man. When you're at the rink, you work. When you leave, there's so much more going on in life. And I learned that at a young age, and I was a young guy on a very veteran team. It was still the old rules before the first long lockout. And, I just kind of watched and Matson, he was the captain, seeing the way he handled himself in the city of Toronto. And from that, I just grew up really quickly, being in that situation in the hockey crazy market. And you just adapt over the years. I guess I was able to do that. And, it's easy advice. Be a good person. Treat people the way you want to be treated. It's that simple. And that's just kind of the way I went.
It's funny, a friend, Lance Hornby of the Toronto Sun, and I'd forgotten this, but he mentioned that you'd announced your retirement after 14 years, fine career, and one of his best moments as a Leaf. I'd forgotten about this. Might have been the night of Matt Sundin's return with the Canucks when Stajan refused to go into the faceoff circle so the crowd could keep cheering Sundin. Those are the memories guys hang on to, aren't they?
Yeah, and that's one thing. I just try to respect everybody. And then when you're playing with a guy like Matt Sundin, my first year I played with Joe Nieuwendyk, Gary Roberts, Darcy Tucker, Brian Leetch got traded to us, Ron Francis, there's Ed Balfour's our goalie. There's like how many Hall of Famers on that team? And you just want to respect those guys. And growing up a Leafs fan, knowing the importance of Matt Sundin's career there, and then being one of the older guys or the more veteran guys on the Leafs when Matt went to Vancouver, having that opportunity to take that face off against him after that celebration, there was no way I was going into that face-off circle without him getting his due. And he kind of looked at me you know, to get into the faceoff circle. Right. He kind of gave me the old nod because he's like, get in there, because he was getting teary eyed, and you know, but that was his moment, and I wasn't going in there until I really had to. And the linesman did the same thing. We kind of both looked at each other, and I said, I'm not going in. We're going to give this, you know, a good 20 seconds. And the only thing I maybe regret doing is I actually won the draw. Matt beat me. But, no, that was definitely a great memory for sure.
Matt, when you make the decision that you're going to walk away, and a lot of times I feel like that probably decision is maybe made months in advance before the actual announcement. How does it work, whether it's the team or the league or just even your own advisors? Like, what is the process to start to transition from professional athlete to whatever you're going to do after professional athletics? And I know it's still pretty young, but has this been a challenge to sort of figure out whatever your next step's going to be?
Yeah, it is a challenge. And you know what, you get a lot of support from guys who have retired before you. Like, you know, guys support each other because it is our whole lives are hockey, hockey, hockey. That's all we know, even from like when we were kids. Cause you got to dedicate yourself to the sport if you want to make it to the NHL. And then one day it's just like done. I was lucky enough to, you know, I kind of could have went on a tryout, a couple PTOs last year. After my contract was up with Calgary, and me and my agent decided, you know what, like, I've had a good career. We don't want to go on a tryout and end it that way. So me and my wife made the decision, and we talked about this even before when we knew it was coming to end, that, you know, go experience playing in Europe. So we committed to that in August last year. Let's go to Europe for a year. And for me, it was really good closure. I enjoyed myself there. The hockey was really good hockey. You're living in different culture. You see, you know, the game's taken a different way over there. And you meet a lot of people there that play the game that are from Canada. So that was a nice closure for me. And then this year you just kind of, you know, you let your family slowly know that it's done, but there's no easy way for a player. You know, some guys want to announce it right away or just want to move on right away. And some guys take their time and hold on. Some guys never say anything. They just kind of, go away. So I was happy with the way it went for me. I really enjoyed my year overseas. And then now I just kind of got to figure out, I'm going to try, a few things out to see what I want to do, you know, in my next career. And you go from there.
Yeah. I was just, as you were talking, there's a great picture of you and your child on your shoulders. I guess it's after a game you playing overseas, and just reading it. It sounds like it was just a really good experience for the family, right? In addition to playing hockey.
Yeah. You just, when else can you live in a different country, you know, as a job for, you know, 8 months, to play hockey. And the thing, you know, the family time is something you never forget. Those memories you get with your kids, and having my son in the dressing room all the time. The team is really, really good about that. And it's still competitive, and, you know, it's not like you go there and, you want to win. We were a good team, and you know, but one thing they do there is after every game that you win at home, they do big chants, and the crowd all stays there and calls you back out for an encore, and us as players, anybody with kids, could get our kids and enjoy that moment. You go there and have your kids on the ice. So it's just a little different than the NHL, right? You do the three stars and you're back in the room, and,
exactly.
And we're there. It's more of a celebration. It's kind of like they do with soccer in Europe. And it was cool to experience that.
Matt, obviously there's a lot going on in the NHL right now. Mark Crawford being investigated, of course, Bill Peters, we're calling it hockey's Me Too movement. You've been around for this. Is hockey in a good place? Like, see, because I've been telling people, I think there's going to be a positive outcome for this. And I'm not generally an optimist, but in this case, I think there's going to be a positive outcome to this. How do you view it?
Yeah, I think it's a tough situation for everybody involved in the game of hockey. You know, it's a lot of negative talk about, you know, hockey, but I think it's more than just hockey. I think it's just the world we live in. I think, you know, hockey obviously is at the forefront because we live in Canada, and you know, through my career, I was fortunate. You know, I had coaches do things and you know, would push you in different ways, you know, but nothing physical. And at the end of the day, I always knew my coaches are trying to get the most out of me, and I respected that, and that's the approach I had. But when you hear some of these stories, obviously you hope that people have learned from it, and that going forward it's going to be, there's going to be change. But honestly, from when I started, I've seen a big change in the way the hockey world has come, just like we have in society. It's, everybody's adapting. So when you hear stories coming out from 10 years ago, I'm sure there was lots of stories 10 years ago in the real world where stuff is just unacceptable. And, people in the hockey world are dealing with it now because it's all coming out. And, I think it's for the good. I think it's just the way the world's moving, and everybody's got to adapt.
Hey, Matt, listen, we really appreciate you joining us today. Again, congratulations on a terrific career, a long career. And I'm sure we'll be seeing you in a broadcast booth or a studio at some point down the road.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. And thanks for having me, guys.